Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albracht and Tommy Kester.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Jacob Albracht, Tommy Kester, Max Power in for Jad today producing. Glad to have you with us. Crestview Country Club, always big sponsor of the show. Want to tell you that they've got all kinds of stuff coming for the holidays. They've got their Thanksgiving brunch, a New Year's Eve event. You can take home Thanksgiving meals. You've got youth activities, and you can do it all on a membership that, well, is, you know, less money if you don't play golf, but want all the other stuff. It's a social membership. They have them. Give them a call. Ask them about it. Tell them we sent you over here from Sports Daily. Just saw them this weekend, and they said they have had people reach out to them because of this show. So we always appreciate that. Always appreciate these partnerships with these companies around town. So thanks to Crestview for supporting the program. In this hour, we'll get probably mostly into the NFL here. Try to dig through what we saw from the Chiefs. Everything else we saw across the landscape in the NFL. Of course, it's Super Bowl or bust this year and most years now for the Chiefs. That doesn't change despite a loss to Buffalo. In regular circumstances, a loss to Buffalo in the regular season doesn't mean anything because they lose to Buffalo in the regular season all the time and still win the Super Bowl, right? It's not that big a deal. But I do think we have to look at the things that are a big deal. Look, I'm not glad the Chiefs lost to Buffalo, Tommy. I'm not. What I am glad, though, is we can remove the crutch of, yeah, but they're undefeated. Like, okay, they are. They were, right? But there are some things that this team's going to need to, you know, button up before the postseason begins. And look, we talked about it right off the top of the show. There's the obvious, glaring, I don't know how they're going to fix it issue of the left tackle being really bad and the right tackle not being that good and Patrick Mahomes being under siege almost every play and having to change the offense based on the routes you can run, based on who has to help protect, has to do all of these things. And that is a concern for the postseason. I'm far more concerned about that than I am the defense, you know, giving up the most points it's given up in a game and all that stuff. I'm still very confident in the defense, quite frankly. But, you know, there's plenty to digest in a loss like that, that the Chiefs can take and try to, you know, get corrected as they move forward.
Well, and I think that, you know, we spent quite a bit of time in the first hour talking about the most glaring issues and one that we didn't talk about that I think is fair. And you and I were actually texting about this last night. Patrick Mahomes didn't have a very good game. You know,
right.
He's had lots of not very good games over the course of the year. And that's, it goes back to what you had said a couple of minutes ago about how the crutch of, well, they're undefeated, so it doesn't really matter. Well, no, it does. It does matter. It does matter that Mahomes, probably by his own standards, is not playing the way that he would like to be playing.
Sure.
His very first pass attempt of the game, he threw an interception, and that interception is 100% on him. Because he shouldn't have thrown that ball. And that's something that we've seen Mahomes do over the course of his entire career is, you know, he doesn't want to, you know, throw it away. He doesn't want to take a sack. He wants to be Superman. He wants to do these miraculous things. And by and large, over his career, he's done that more than any other quarterback ever has. But I think that we're at a point now, at least in this season, where those Superman effort, like miraculous, crazy, how did he do that type moments are not happening the way that we've been accustomed to. And what's happening is he's turning the ball over. He turned the ball over on the very first pass attempt of the entire game yesterday and put the ball in Buffalo's hands. And the Chiefs' drive to start the game ended almost as quickly as it began. And so those are things that are not being discussed at the level of all the issues with the offensive line and lack of pass rush and all these other things that are going on. I think it's okay to say Patrick Mahomes is not playing very well. And you and I were going back and forth last night about his MVP odds. He's still the fourth best odds to win the MVP in the NFL. I think due in large part to the fact that he is Patrick Mahomes. Bottom line, even though his TD to interception ratio is not very good this year, he gets the benefit of the doubt, and I don't think he always should. And it's okay, I think, to be critical of him. He's not playing very well.
You don't have to convince me of this. I've said this for years. Like, if we're just like pointing out what we see and look at in the NFL, yeah, it's okay. But people get very defensive about Patrick Mahomes, best player in football.
100% he is.
And the reason he is still the fourth odds on favorite to win an MVP is because he's the best player in football. And because there's still seven games to play. He's the fourth best, Tommy, but he's 12-1. He's never that, you know, he's never 12-1, right? It's because of what Goff's doing and what Jackson's doing. And now Allen, and I told you 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, that Josh Allen, based on the odds at that time, was the bet to make because Buffalo's really good. And, you know, if they're just end up being good, like Josh Allen's playing out of his mind. I know Lamar Jackson put up all the numbers. Baltimore's coming back down to earth. Baltimore is a very flawed team. Buffalo, to me, Buffalo's a lot better than Baltimore. That is, I'm not saying that Baltimore can't win a Super Bowl. They can. But I think Buffalo's a far more complete team than Baltimore is. But Patrick Mahomes is the fourth odds on favorite because they still have seven games to play. He can, you know, you just have to leave room. Just like an opposite here, it's like this. Just like the defense has to leave in the back of their head, you can't give Patrick Mahomes the ball at the end of the game. The odds makers have to leave in the back of their heads, you can't give Patrick Mahomes the ball at the end of the game. Like, we can't leave open this possibility and make him 40-1, even though his numbers are not there, because what if the Chiefs get on this run? Now all his weapons are finally coming back and he goes on a seven-game tear, pads his stats, the Chiefs are the number one seed in AFC. You know what I mean? Like, all those things are still possible with Patrick Mahomes. I think most of his struggles this year, honestly, are due to the offensive line play. Patrick Mahomes is we all know he's Houdini in the pocket, right? That's a part of his game. It's a part of what makes him great. But this is next level bad. Like, you can't help but wonder if that blind side is protected every single time you drop back. And I think one of the things that makes the really great quarterbacks great is that they can operate despite that. I think one of the things that makes not great quarterbacks really struggle is when they can't handle that. We see this happen to, you know, to young players all the time. But if you go look at like the great, great quarterbacks over the years, Mahomes, like, the ability to just sit in there and take it, even though you know it's not going to be good. He does that. Josh Allen does that. God, we watched Joe Burrow last night. Joe Burrow, and like, it's Andrew Luck bad for Joe Burrow, the way the poundings he takes in a game, yet they still make the throws. So I think the offensive line is the biggest reason we've seen Mahomes struggle a little bit, because they're not giving him a chance, quite frankly, and he does have to force it more than he probably would like to. And the other thing I think for Mahomes, he also knows who his defense is, and he knows he can afford to take the risks. Now, it doesn't mean they're good plays or anything like that, but I think he's a smart enough player to know he can get bailed out by his defense a lot. And you know, based on the offense right now, he might need to take a few more risks. He has a defense that can bail him out. It's a totally different Mahomes. I don't think it makes him any less great. I think it makes him different. And the other thing is, they don't care. Like, he doesn't care. Nobody cares. Is anybody on the planet right now doubting whether Patrick Mahomes is the best player in football? I doubt it, right? If they're being honest with themselves. Is he playing the best right now? Absolutely not. Is he the best player? Sure he is. He doesn't care. It's Super Bowl or bust. So, yeah, he's not playing well. Not by his own standard. He's playing, you know, average, I would say.
Yeah, and I think the thing that concerns me the most, you know, we can talk about the lack of time that Mahomes has in the pocket. We can talk about how the pocket just breaks down entirely. He's under siege. He has to roll out. He has to try to do all of these wild and crazy things. Sometimes you would wish that he would just throw the ball away or whatever. There were a couple of risky passes that he made that didn't end up intercepted, but, you know, were very, very dangerous passes that he made because he was under pressure. But for me, more than anything else, every single time that he drops back, I'm thinking to myself, is this the play that he gets hurt? Is this the play that he gets injured from an edge rusher coming off of the blind side and having Wanya Morris not be able to stop it? I think about that all the time. It was even on one of the touchdown passes that Mahomes had last night where he got the ball out very quickly, and it ended up, I think it was one of the TDs, what would have been to Noah Gray. And he got the ball out extremely quickly, and it was great, and it resulted in a touchdown. I don't know if you watched the replay. Wanya Morris completely whiffed. And like it was, had Mahomes not gotten it out in that second, he would have been lit up and it wouldn't have been a touchdown and Mahomes might have gotten hurt. And I thought to myself, man, the Bills just need to throw everything in the kitchen sink at getting to him on that side, because it doesn't matter what the Chiefs are doing. They can't stop it. And then you look at, okay, well, who are some of the edge rushers that are coming up in, you know, the remaining seven games of the regular season that the Chiefs are going to go up against? And I think in names like TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith and Khalil Mack, if he can, you know, I know he didn't play last night, but if he's healthy when the Chiefs play the Chargers again, like there are still really high level edge rushers that are going to be after. I mean, you don't think that these defensive coordinators absolutely know that that's a liability for the Chiefs. And I fear so largely that Mahomes is going to get hurt, and the Chiefs have had just either an inability or an unwillingness or a combination of both to do anything to try to address that.
Well, I think I don't want to say they haven't tried, because they made the Sua Mataia move. That's trying, you know, making him a healthy scratch is trying something. We'll see. They need more time now to work in these other players and see if they can do it. But I think that's pretty significant. Your second round pick that you like to basically say, not going to happen. We need you to just go away for a little bit. Like that is significant. And I think a positive sign that they're not just going to, you know, ignore it.
I think and I've talked about this before. I think that they have bungled his development. I think that they've mismanaged left tackle in general. And look, it's all, you know, hindsight is 2020. You can't go back and change the past. All you can do is, you know, figure out a way to put a Band-Aid on it to make it better moving forward. But it's disappointing to me. I mean, I feel like, and I don't remember what your take on it was before the season, but I distinctly remember before the season saying they need to go and sign somebody. Like they need to do something to add at least a veteran depth piece at left tackle, and they didn't do it. They felt comfortable, you know, between Morrison and Sua Mataia. I used the reference on social media yesterday that those two competing against each other to quote unquote win the starting spot for left tackle is like two one-legged men competing in a hopscotch contest. Like nobody really wins that, right? And that's, unfortunately, that was the quote unquote competition between those two guys when neither one of them should be starting.
I don't know that I would have anticipated them both struggling as bad as they both have. I'm never opposed to depth on the offensive line. I'm curious to see if the depth they do have can help, because it's hard to imagine it getting worse. So we'll see. But I'm telling you right now, the best thing that can happen for the Chiefs is Pacheco to come back and for them to run the ball 30 to 35 times a game to tell the defense going in, here's what we're going to do. You know, like we're going to come in and we're going to play Pittsburgh Steelers football. That's what we're going to do, right? And Pittsburgh's obviously opened up now a little bit with Russ, but over the years, how does Pittsburgh stay? We need you guys to shut them down, because we're going to run the ball 30 or 35 times. We have these two running backs who are very capable of doing that. We're bringing back the running back who adds the explosion that they've lacked back into their run game, right? Kareem Hunt has been such a good thing for this team, but he is allergic to an explosive run. That run yesterday was the first time he'd done that or anything close to it since he's been there. So adding Pacheco back helps that greatly. They're just going to keep getting offensive weapons back. They may get Hollywood Brown back. However, if they don't fix the offensive line, it doesn't matter. So run the ball a ton and lean into the defense. Basically win the way you won last year for a while until the very end of the year when Rashi Rice exploded. Like just win games that way, because they can. They still have, like if we go through, Tommy, and look at all the great teams right now in the AFC, right? You just look at the AFC and tell me how many of those defenses right now would you take of the contenders ahead of Kansas City. I would take Pittsburgh ahead of them at the moment just because of the pass rush. I don't think Buffalo is definitively better. I think they're about the same. And yesterday I know happened and all these things, but Baltimore's not better. Denver's probably, you know, on par. The Chargers are probably on par, but Kansas City has an opportunity to be as good or better than any of them. Yeah, they are. They also allowed Cincinnati to come back in that game when they had no business doing that, and let Cincinnati come back 20 almost. Cincinnati scored all those points late, and so that's a problem. The Chiefs defense. Let me put it this way: Chiefs defense isn't doing that, right? They're not giving up 20 points straight points late like that, but that's the strength of the team. So just lean into it. Take the offensive line away. I don't care if your tackles can block. Run it up the middle. Make teams beat you there. Make somebody come in and force you to throw the ball because you're trailing by a large margin. And then, okay, that's fine. I just don't see that happening. Buffalo couldn't do it yesterday. That game was way too close for them to only have run the ball 15, 16 times.
Look, and I get the fact that Buffalo, they've built themselves a dynamic passing game. And it's something that I did not anticipate going into this season. I honestly didn't. I thought that this was, and I don't even want to call it a rebuild because that sounds negative. It was more like a reset offensively, I think, for the passing game for Buffalo. I certainly didn't anticipate that it would just take this little time for the rapport to be built with guys like Khalil Shakir and Amari Cooper, and even Curtis Samuel had a big game last night.
Yeah, I mean, Cooper has barely played.
Yeah.
Right? Cooper had a
fantastic catch there early in the game. So I understand that it's a dynamic passing game. They missed Jalen Watson. They absolutely do in the secondary.
Sure.
I thought that there were a number of plays, and I know Chamari Connor had an interception that was great in the end zone. He didn't have great coverage in a lot of spots in the game. Nazi Johnson, I think, struggled at times. Of course, they've got McDuffie, and McDuffie's one of the best to do it in the game right now, so that helps out a lot. There were some poor tackling in the game yesterday. I mean, I know it's one game that the defense didn't have it compared to everything else that we've seen throughout the entire season for them. The body of work is large, and I think by and large the defense does deserve the benefit of the doubt. But that was a little concerning to me. But I think more than anything else defensively, they have no pass rush. And that's something that's actually more concerning, because that's gone basically the entire season. The Chiefs rank near the bottom of the NFL when it comes to getting to the quarterback. They've not had it this year at all. I know they go and they bring in Joshua Uche to try to help in that scenario. And even I know Andy Reid said Felix Anudike Uzomah had an injury that he played through yesterday, but they're not able to get to the quarterback at the clip that we need them to. And so, yeah, you want them to lean into their defense and put it on their backs and everything. But if they can't get to the quarterback, then that's a huge part of a defense that is basically just out the window, and you're banking on everything else to go right.
I'm going to give Buffalo a ton of credit, as much as anything else. There isn't really another game defensively where I'm like, oh, I'm very concerned. They'll play Carolina and then the Raiders, and then they'll get the Chargers and Cleveland and Houston and Pittsburgh and Denver. And then they'll have good offenses the rest of the way. So we're going to know the answers to a lot of these questions when the time comes. The beautiful thing about the season for the Chiefs is they have built out, right, this massive, they're already to 9 wins. They play Carolina and the Raiders in the next two. I don't think they'll win those two. So now you're already at 11 wins, right? They're safe. They're secure. They have the ability to work through some of these things. Are they out of the woods with the Chargers in the AFC West? No, they're not. But they play them. Are they out of the woods for the number one overall seed? Absolutely not. Not even close to that. But honestly, I don't even care. Much like last year, I don't care where they play their postseason games, because the style that they need to play with translates wherever you go, right? So that doesn't even mean that much. I would far rather them have an answer, on the bookends and not be home field, right, and try and solve some of those things, than than play every game at home, but still have no idea what's going to happen at left tackle. Let's look around the NFL. Let's take a break. We'll come back because there was a lot that happened yesterday. I think that means a lot for the Chiefs. So let's take a look at that, including Sunday Night Football, including what the Steelers did against the Ravens. There's a lot, including what the Lions did. My goodness. Yesterday, the 49ers fall late. Do we just sort of push them to the side, or do we still need to pay attention? There's a lot there. We're going to start that conversation when we come back. On the way out, let's give away a little HTO. You can enter here, free iced tea, sweet or unsweet, and a free coffee, iced or hot. All kinds of good stuff. And I'll tell you, while you're there, get those Thanksgiving gallon pre-orders in. You've got about another week to do that. And while you pre-order, you can get buy 3 gallons, get one free. So take your free tea, your free coffee in there. Order those Thanksgiving gallons. All you got to do to win right now is text the keyword tea to the short code 20357, TEA 20357. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. These are good for any of the 3 locations in the Wichita Metro. Good luck. We're coming back. More NFL talk on Sports Daily next.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. On your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car with the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com? You can just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH. Download that app today to get started. IHOP Hotline is back open for you. You can celebrate. You can celebrate that they are the official breakfast partner, Tommy, of Xbox. Exclusive merchandise, games, and reward offers for IHOP loyalty members. So check that out. 869-1240. It is open for you the rest of the way. Let's look around the NFL, Tommy. It's Sunday Night Football. Got us talking about this certainly last night. AFC, the playoff picture is honestly mostly sorted out. You've essentially got one spot that will be open. You've got that 7 seed. Denver right now with 5 losses is the leader there. You've got Indianapolis and Miami, 1 loss behind Denver. You've got Cincinnati now after last night, 2 losses behind Denver. And then you go down to the Jets, New England. I don't think anybody's considering those teams, and maybe not even Cincinnati. But even if you said Indianapolis, Miami, and then a slight asterisk for Cincinnati and Denver, that race is going to be pretty interesting to watch, I think, down the stretch. All of those, especially with Anthony Richardson playing the way he did yesterday, become pretty interesting games. But when we look at the rest of the AFC, I mean, the Chargers, I think you have to take seriously. Absolutely now. With that pass rush and the way Herbert and that pass game looks, Chargers look great.
Yeah, they do.
Buffalo, obviously a contender.
Yep.
We'll see about Houston as they get healthier. I need to see them get healthier. But when you look at the other ones, you know, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, obviously, with Lamar Jackson, is always going to be a threat. I think Pittsburgh, I know it's Russell Wilson. Man, I think Pittsburgh is way for real. Like way, 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 way for real. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball, and they play amazing defense. I don't know why there would be anybody still sleeping on Pittsburgh, but that's Russell Wilson has won Super Bowl, and been to Super Bowls. So you put him in with what they already had cooking, and I'm in on them. So look, I think this is it. And then, of course, on the other side, I mean, in the NFC, are you afraid of anybody but Detroit? Because I'm not sure that I am.
Not really.
Maybe Philadelphia.
Yeah, maybe Philadelphia. Maybe. That'd be the other team. Probably. That's about it. I think the Vikings, you know, when they can get rolling, that they're probably the next tier down from there. I don't even know if I would call them
good against 2 bad teams the last 2 weeks. What I hope is not happening is that Sam Darnold is doing what he always does and coming back down to earth, because the Vikings are such a great story this year. They're 8-2. They're going to make it, but I hope that they stay good. I hope they're a threat, because I think they're a cool team.
Going back to the AFC, though, I mean, Pittsburgh, they do something really, really well, and that is they lock you down defensively, and they do what they need to do from the offensive perspective to be able to get it done. They didn't need a lot from Russell Wilson. They didn't need a lot from the running game because their defense just shut Lamar down. Lamar cannot play against the Steelers. He's never been able to, and he wasn't able to do it yesterday either. And so that's, I think, what, I mean, of course, that's what makes Pittsburgh dangerous, you know, down the stretch. I was waiting. We're about an hour and a half into the show. I've been waiting to hear how you would come out talking about Cincinnati. Because
one of the most disappointing teams in football. There's no
question. Even though they're two games out of the final spot in the AFC playoffs, they're 4-7 at this point on the season. You can't bury him entirely, right? Like, you still have an asterisk next to their name.
I can't with Joe Burrow there. No, I can't.
And I think the entire world is like, these guys are done. They're washed. They're dead in the water, you know. And I was wondering how you were going to approach it. And I'm not surprised at all, because I know how you are with the Bengals. Like,
know how I am with Joe Burrow.
You're right? Still, you know, like, there's got to be life there. And there isn't. There's no life there for the Bengals.
Seven games to play, and they're two games back, and they play a head-to-head game with Denver. This is what I told you last night. Like, Burrow is in the stratosphere to me of Allen, of Mahomes, of Lamar Jackson. Am I forgetting anybody in the NFC? I don't think I am. Those four guys, I think that's it. Like, until they're out, I would not want to see them in the postseason, just as a general rule. And, you know, yeah, they're 4-7, but they play Denver and they're only two games back. Here's, I guess, the way I would wonder it. Because Denver looked really good, obviously, yesterday.
They did.
Anthony Richardson is back in Indianapolis and makes them far more dynamic than Joe Flacco, even though I understand and I don't even disagree with making the move to Flacco temporarily. And Miami, obviously, healthy now with Tua, although they haven't been very impressive in their wins. They are sort of climbing back into it with, you know, getting healthier, and they do have explosive weapons. So of all of those four teams, because I think we all consider the other six in the AFC certainly dangerous and a contender, do we consider some of those other four by that category dangerous, like whichever team happens to get there?
Yeah.
I think you can make a case for all four of them, because I think even the Colts, to me, who are the least overweight, they got Jonathan Taylor back, and man, Anthony Richardson,
if you got
cold weather game, and you told me the opposition, if it's cold and the weather's nasty, can run Anthony Richardson out there to run around a little bit.
I've been saying this. You gave me such a hard time. What was it, a week ago, for saying that I would rather play Cincinnati in the playoffs than play Denver in Indianapolis?
I haven't changed my mind on that, but I think Indianapolis with Richardson has at least climbed
a dangerous Denver
category.
And Indy looked a lot more dangerous than Cincinnati did this weekend. A lot more dangerous. I think both of them did. And it's especially for, like, Denver, it's defensively. I mean, it took the Chiefs to block a field goal for the Chiefs to win the game last week against Denver. I'd rather play Cincinnati in the playoffs, because I know, here's the thing with Cincinnati, and this is not a knock. I like Joe Burrow. I think he's a really good quarterback. Jamar Chase is probably the best wide receiver in the game right now outside of Justin Jefferson. It's those two guys neck and neck. But I know who I need to shut down if I'm playing Cincinnati. I know exactly how I need to go after it. They don't have an offensive line, so I need to throw the kitchen sink at Joe Burrow. And then, honestly, it's Jamar Chase. And I know T. Higgins is there, too, and Higgins had a good game last night against the Chargers. But they don't have anything else. That's what the Bengals have from start to finish. That's who they have. And so you know who you need to go after.
I know you're just waiting for me in Cincinnati. You just hate Cincinnati because of a soundbite
from Jamar Chase earlier. That's not true.
Because, Tommy, you just said Kansas City had to block a field goal against Denver to win. Kansas City had to get a penalty on a safety to set up a game-winning field goal against Cincinnati.
You're right.
Right? Like, you hate Cincinnati. I get it.
That's not what I'm saying. I don't hate Cincinnati. What I hate is the fact that it doesn't. They could be 2-9, and you'd be like, well, if they make it to the playoffs,
let's make a friendly wager right now. Assuming the health of the players, right? Mm-hmm. I will bet you. I don't know, what should we bet? That Cincinnati beats Denver when they play late in the year. How about that? We'll make this real simple.
I'll take that bet.
Okay. Where do they even play? I don't know where they play that game. I just know they play that game late.
I'll take that bet.
And we can just have the conversation that way.
I think here's a better bet though, because you've said all along that it's Burrow in the playoffs. Yes. Let's make a bet right now. Bengals don't make the playoffs.
Oh no, I'm not making that bet because they're probably not making the playoffs.
So why are we talking about how dangerous they are? Because they're not eliminated. I understand that, but we like you were not spending time on these other teams that are like actually legitimate threats because they're going to make the playoffs. I think the Chargers are extremely dangerous. And like we spend all this time on a 4-7 team with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase.
You brought them back up.
I did because you're unwilling to bury them and say they're not getting there. They don't have what it takes to get there. Like you're still putting an asterisk by their name. Like they're far enough down. Like I just don't see a way that they're going to make the playoffs. You're like, well, it's Joe Burrow, so we got to put an asterisk there.
They're two games behind in the seventh seed, and so, they play that game head to head.
So make a bet that they're going to make the playoffs because I don't think that they will.
I'm not saying they're going to make the playoffs. I'm saying I don't want to see Joe Burrow in the playoffs. That's all I said.
I don't think you're going to have to worry about seeing Joe Burrow in the playoffs.
That's fine. I don't think that you are either. But if he gets there, I'm not worried about. I'm trying to look at this from the Chiefs lens of because we went into this year and we thought there would be maybe two or three teams that would be able to compete with the Chiefs to win a Super Bowl. That number has swelled a ton because now we're looking at it and it's, you know, it's largely to do with Kansas City for sure. But now we're looking at this and Buffalo, yes. Pittsburgh, yes. Houston, I think maybe Houston. Chargers, yes. Baltimore, yes. Denver, yes.
Yeah.
Look at the way they played Kansas City. Indianapolis with Richardson,
yeah.
Maybe. Miami healthy,
yeah.
Maybe. Cincinnati with Burrow,
no.
Maybe.
Like, at 4-7, no.
Do you consider Miami, you know, threatening at all?
I think so.
How many wins do they have?
They've got five, right?
No, four.
They've got four. Yeah. I mean,
How many does Cincinnati have?
They have four.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just want to put that out there.
Yeah. I think that they're probably not a team that I'm spending a lot of time on, spending any time on Cincinnati right now. Like Cincinnati is so far down my priority list on teams that I'm concerned about in the playoffs for the Chiefs that like, it's not even top of mind. Like, and it shouldn't be. And it, going back to your point
no,
about,
I agree. It should
going
not
back
be.
To your point Pittsburgh about through the,
be.
Through the
Buffalo
lens, through the lens of the Chiefs, like through the lens of the teams that can beat them in the playoffs, you have to look at it from the lens of who's actually going to be there to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. And that's Buffalo and Pittsburgh and probably Baltimore and Chargers and maybe Denver. Like those are the teams. Like I don't even care about the Bengals anymore. They're 4-7. Don't care about them. I don't care. Like we can hypothetically talk all day long about Joe Burrow in the playoffs. He's got to get there first. And he's not going to.
That will be the case for that 7 seed. The other teams are probably safely in. Houston 6-4. They're not out of the woods with Indianapolis by any means. That's another thing to consider with the Colts. Because they're only two games behind Houston, and we just have to see a game and a half. We got to see Houston start playing better, and they should look fine tonight against the Cowboys. Over in the NFC, Detroit is now the favorite, by the way. How could they not be the way that they're playing? They do everything well, literally everything well. They're not even well. They do everything great. Philadelphia sort of fits that mold, too. We all have our reasons. Yours is the coaching. Mine is I'm not totally sold on their quarterback ever, even though I really like him. I you know, whatever it is. You know the three seed? You know the three seed in the NFC is right now, Tommy? Without looking? I literally just saw this, so I didn't know this either.
The three seed in the NFC is probably the Buccaneers?
Arizona,
okay.
Yeah. So Arizona and Atlanta, because they're leading their garbage divisions are 3-4. I say garbage division. That's probably not fair to the NFC West. They're just not playing well. But so if you go into the NFC and we look at it, like I you can sort of have the same exercise, right? Which of these quarterbacks scares you? Of course, Detroit scares you in every way. Jalen Hurts, I see, I can't categorize him in that same way. If Philadelphia beats you, if you're the Chiefs and Philadelphia beats you, I don't think it's going to be because of Jalen Hurts, I guess, as an example. You know, the NFC has some good teams. They just don't have all the great quarterbacks. San Francisco is 5-5 right now. San Francisco, technically speaking, Tommy, is the 10 seed right now in the NFC. And they got McCaffrey back, right? And they still lose to Seattle. That game was in San Francisco too, wasn't it? I don't know what to make of the NFC. I guess it's like Lions, we'll see you in February. Maybe Philadelphia. If the Lions and Eagles played, I mean, it would be a good game. But man, the Lions. And look, I get it. The Lions, we saw them last week and they didn't look amazing when Jared Goff threw 5 interceptions against the Texans. But I would also just tell you that they beat the Texans despite Jared Goff throwing 5 interceptions. Okay, think about that for a second. He threw 5 interceptions and they didn't just hang around. They won that game. They won that game at Houston on the road.
Yeah.
You want to talk like, well, you want to talk about an eye opener.
Hey, look, there's a reason why for the first time this season, there's a team other than the Chiefs that are the consensus odds on favorite for the Super Bowl. And that's the Lions. There's a reason for it because they've been impressive in games where they're not playing well and they find a way to win. And then they just absolutely blow the doors off of the Jaguars yesterday. And I get it. The Jags are not good. Doug Peterson is on his way out in Jacksonville. Mac Jones started the game for Jacksonville yesterday. I get all of that. It's an inferior opponent from top to bottom. But man, it's just impressive that the Lions, they would have won the game either way, but they could have easily played down a little bit more to their competition and not had it been, such a onslaught against Jacksonville. They didn't do that. They laid it on. And that's a statement victory, I think, for Dan Campbell and for the Lions. Like, look, we're going to absolutely keep coming at you and find a way to just continue to lay it on, play after play after play. And that's what they did.
I was just looking at they play the Colts next. Colts. So we didn't factor any of this into our other discussion. I was just looking ahead to the Lions schedule. They play the Colts. Colts also have to play the Broncos. They're going to have to win. Like, they're going to have to come up with some big wins if they're going to make postseason. That'll be interesting to see. Yeah, it's Detroit or bust, I think, in the NFC. I'll put Philadelphia there just because I think they have so many dadgum playmakers and because their defense is playing better. But another wild and crazy Sunday in the NFL, and nothing changes for we just keep looking at everything from the Chiefs' perspective and trying to size it out that way. And, Buffalo got the opening salvo of that rivalry in 2024. They win the regular season game.
They usually do.
Can they win a postseason game?
And they usually don't.
Buck history, they usually don't. But I would tell you that on November 18th, I'm probably the most concerned about that game in the postseason than I have been, knowing it could be coming in the last, how many years in a row have they played this? 3 now? I would say that right now the Chiefs had better figure something out. Right. They don't really have that bread and butter offensively that they can lean on. And they got a long time to figure it out and a long cushion to get there. The Chargers, final thought. Are you concerned at all about the Chargers in the AFC West as far as a divisional championship for the Chiefs?
No, I don't think so, because the Chiefs have already beat them once. They already have one head-to-head win against the Chargers this season. So, no, I'm not concerned about them in the division. Overall, but I do think that they're an extremely talented team. I think that they're a dangerous playoff team. And I think that Jim Harbaugh has gotten that squad playing extremely well. I think that really the biggest reason why they brought him to LA was to be able to get Justin Herbert into a position to where he can be the superstar that everybody thought he was going to be. And I think he's well on his way. So, I mean, overall, yeah, like, they're a threat for sure. But I'm not concerned about them in the division only because the Chiefs already have a head-to-head win.
Their schedule down the stretch is pretty tough. They get, host Baltimore Monday Night Football next week. They've got to go to Atlanta. They've got to go to Arrowhead. They get to play Denver at home. They've got Tampa at home, and then they finish with a couple of cupcakes. Yeah, their path is pretty tough with the 2-game lead right now over them.
They'll get a wild card spot, and they could absolutely. You know, they could make some noise in the playoffs.
They're absolutely a team that is a threat in the postseason. I just mean, should the Chiefs have any concern yet about the West? Probably not yet, even though it's only 2 games. It's really 2.5 games. So we'll watch them. Man, Justin Herbert looks like he's all the way back. Love seeing that. He's so good when he's on. Firing missiles last night in that game. Real quick, Tommy, Shockers in action tonight, taking on Monmouth. I think we, you know, as we're looking at things to watch for, it's a game that, well, they should come out and score a bunch of points and look right there. 16.5 point favorites over Monmouth. And sure be not. I don't think I'm going to mess with a line that large or anything like that. I'll look maybe at a player prop or two, but it'd be nice if they beat him by 17 points.
Yeah, I know how much you follow Monmouth basketball, so I'm sure that you're an expert when it comes to how that's going to play out.
The 0-4 Monmouth squad. Let's just take a little look here in case we need to. The over-under's at 154.5. That's appetizing to me. But they lost to Michigan State, Temple, Northern Illinois, and Rutgers. look, Temple, there's you, an American Athletic Conference foe, Tommy. They lost to Temple by 29 points. Interesting. I don't know what Temple's supposed to be this year, but maybe we can look at that as a silly, stupid thing to watch tonight. Can you beat them by as many as Temple beat them by?
Does that tickle your fancy then on the spread?
It sure might.
If they lost to Temple by 29?
They lost to Michigan State by 24, Temple by 29, Northern Illinois by only 13, and then Rutgers by 17. Rutgers is ranked, by the way. Yeah, I think I'm more inclined to take the over. Try to go down that road. All right. That's tonight. You'll hear it right here. We'll tell you what else you'll hear on our family and networks when we wrap up Sports Daily next.